It's the Observation Deck with Gordo, brought to us by Tylock George Eye Care.
Thank you, Craig. I think this show is unanimous in all believing in the magic of UFOs.
Yes.
We believe that they are among us, they have been among us, and they will continue to be among us.
I do.
And the proof we have is that there is no proof, because that only a technologically advanced society could cover up this well. So
the proof we have is that we strongly believe that our government has proof.
Yeah, okay. I like what I'm hearing there.
I think most of it has been some sort of military. It's not something from outer space, but I do think there are some that are unexplained. And okay, I have no idea what they are.
So you think that there are UFOs?
Yes.
It's just a lot of things attributed to UFOs are actually classified military stuff that we're not supposed to know about. And they can't explain that it's not UFOs. The military would rather you think it's UFOs than think it's whatever they got cooking.
That's right.
Okay. Well, have you ever heard of the Brazilian Roswell?
No.
Well, on January 13th, 1996, something very strange happened in our world. Witnesses in Varginha, Brazil. They spotted a cigar-shaped UFO.
Cigar-shaped?
Yeah, anytime I see that, I get a little bit, okay, let's update that. It's very 1950s sounding to me. Anytime it's a cigar shape or a flying saucer. Anyway, they spotted a cigar-shaped UFO that looked damaged and had white smoke pouring out of it. The supposed spacecraft crashed on a farm outside the city, where Carlos de Souza found scattered debris and a strange lightweight metal that reshaped itself after being crumpled. So he picks up part of it, I guess, and crumples it, and then it goes back to its original shape.
Wow.
It did not want to be messed with by Carlos.
Maybe that's something we've been working on. Maybe.
Maybe. Just shine a little light in there. However, soldiers quickly arrived, and De Souza claimed that he was ordered to leave at gunpoint. Later, two mysterious men in suits allegedly threatened him at a gas station to stay silent about what he had seen. Mm-hmm. Quote, "You saw nothing, you know nothing, or you will have problems for the rest of your life," De Souza recounted that these men said when he encountered them. Now, days later, on January 20th of 1996, three young women encountered a reportedly scared, non-human being in a vacant lot that had a strong ammonia smell to it. You don't buy it?
I do.
No, it was probably just some drunk who had some.
It was hiding behind a wall.
Problem.
It was hiding behind a wall near the crash site.
See? Scared non-human being.
Yeah, they said it was non-human.
Okay.
Brazilian military and police, it's rumored that they captured at least two of these beings that same day, including one officer who grabbed bare-handed one of the creatures.
He had bare hands?
And the officer's name was Marco Eli Cherizzi.
No way.
And his skin was scratched during the capture, while he developed a deadly infection from the alleged scratch. The alleged scratch? He had. Seems like that would be proven if he got a scratch. And he died weeks later. The forensic pathologist who performed the autopsy on the officer said during a press conference this week that he discovered a rare aggressive bacterium that doctors suspected may have been of alien origin in the officer's wound. What does this mean? Doctors suspected may have been of alien origin. I doubt very seriously that doctors are going to say it came from aliens. Maybe they meant alien in a different way. Just like, we don't know what this is.
What is your source on this story? I feel like it's the same one that gave me the Gorilla Channel story.
The source is the printer in the break room. I printed this off.
Okay.
Now, soon afterwards, the beings and the debris was reportedly transported to a Brazilian airport where a secret U.S. C-17 cargo plane loaded it up and flew it back to America. Now, the witnesses say that they maintain everything they saw was real, but they have no evidence from the reported crash site that has been seen again, and the death of that officer was listed as an infection due to the earth bacteria strain Staphylococcus schleiflerae.
Staph infection.
Yeah. So there was a big press conference about this, and Colonel Fred Clawson appeared. He has been awarded the Distinguished Flying Cross twice during his career. He came forward in the press conference in Washington a couple days ago to reveal that he thinks there are probably at least about 30 people who know the truth of this, counting for all the personnel that would have had to been involved in the recovery of the crash site. And
probably at least.
Yes, and he has called upon them to come forward because it's time that the truth was known and that we blow the lid off of the Brazilian Roswell incident.
Okay.
These beings are described as walking on two legs but having oily brown skin and large red eyes.
Interesting.
Okay, we have one on with us right now.
And here he is, having the time of his life.
That's the Brazilian reporting that.
As the alien is hiding behind a wall, this reporter's claiming that he's having the time of his life. And there he is. Why did that go so viral?
Because it was such a bad report.
It was just showing, was it Vance Joseph?
Yeah.
Before the game, it was just a Monday night game, but according to him, there he is. He's having the time of his life.
I think it was his first game as a head coach.
Okay.
It was something like that. And he meant to say, here is Vance Joseph realizing a lifelong dream or something like that. But I guess because he's a Telemundo reporter, maybe he didn't have complete and full grasp of the English language. I don't know. But he defaulted to having the time of his life, which you would never say about a head coach.
Before a game?
Before a game where they're a nervous wreck and it's fog of war. I don't think they're ever really having the time of their life.
I don't know.
So that guy's different than Brian from Ball State?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brian from
totally
Ball
different
State
guys.
Also didn't have much of a grasp of the English language.
That one was so bad just because, and we've done it before where we've listened to the full Brian and the context of it.
It's so bad.
And how nervous he was the whole time and how he'd just be silent for long periods of time during his sports cast. And you just hear him going, oh. He passes it to the man, it to the man, and boom goes the dynamite.
That's the only thing he had ready. He had a catchphrase ready because he knew all the Sports Center anchors had one. So he had to have one. So he came up with boom goes the dynamite, but he had nothing the other 99% of the time.
And didn't some Sports Center anchors start using that year?
It got really popular. Boom goes
and
the dynamite.
Boom goes the dynamite.
And didn't he start off very Zodiac-like? Hello again, everybody.
Yeah.
Hello again, everybody.
Do you have that at the ready time?
Brian from Ball State, 99?
Hello, everyone. Well, the Ball State softball team continued to play this weekend, and they were hoping to continue off of their straight 3 out of 4 losses. And so we'll take a look and see how that happened. They started off good, but then eventually the Ball State women's team shut down and ended up doing poorly. Oh, no. And it's working. Okay. We're going to continue on now. And the Ladies Cardinals will play an Iowa tournament starting this Friday. Before the Ball State baseball team kicks off its conference season this weekend, the Cards will battle an in-state rival, Indiana, tomorrow. Tomorrow's game will be the meeting between the two, beating both. First.
Those papers.
Hoosiers are on the four on the year, and they have won six of its last seven games. Tomorrow will be the game three at 3 p.m. Which, switching to Ball State men's tennis, it seems last week player on. It seems every week they have a player. Matt Lawrence is the latest Cardinals tennis player to win the award. Lamar won all the singles and doubles matches last week. So far, the Cardinals have had a player honored on the weekly awards. Seven out of the nine weeks. The Cards will play at Boise State Invite this weekend. The Indiana Pacers are looking for a measure of revenge tonight against the New Jersey Nets and to strengthen their playoff hopes. The Nets won the last Sunday's matchup 94-85, which left the Pacers one game behind the Chicago in the seventh series spot. Let's check out the highlights. Steven Jackson's David. Reggie Miller's looking good. He shoots a three, and it's good. Later, he gets the rebound, passes it to the man, shoots it, and boom goes the dynamite.
The man.
The final scores ended up with the Pacers 63 to the Nets 61.
No way that was the final.
The Associated Press of the All-American First Team in College Baseball was announced today that Utah's 7-foot sophomore, center Andrew Bogut, was the leading vote getting, receiving 61st place votes. Bogut, who is an Australian native, received very little attention in the presentation in the preseason, but averaged 20 points and 12 rebounds a game for Utah. The four other players joining Bogut on the AP team are senior forward Wayne Summers and Kansas and Hakan Warwick of Syracuse, junior guard J.J. Redick of Duke, and sophomore guard Chris Paul of Wake Forest rebounded out the list.
Rebounded out the list.
Let's check out some of the scores tonight.
How much paperwork is involved here?
A lot.
He's filing everything in triplicate as he goes along.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot for that look in sports, Brian.
Thanks a lot.
And when we come back, we'll have one final look at weather.
Thank you. I don't even know where to start. I love that Andrew Bogut got an award, but he said he received very little attention during the presentation. They're honoring the guy, but they're not going to
preseason
acknowledge him.
The one that's always tripped me up over the years, and I have no idea what he was trying to say. The Hoosiers are on the four-on.
Yeah, the Hoosiers are on the four-on.
Is it a four-on-one break, maybe?
I don't know.
But he wasn't giving Hoosier highlights, was he?
Nobody knows.
No, he was talking about women's softball, I think.
And then the Pacers highlights. Utah. He had the phrase, Steven Jackson, David.
I think he sounded nervous there or something. I was picking up a little bit on that.
He may have been having the time of his life.
And he sounded like a combination of Killer and Alexi when Alexi did the ticker. As a matter of fact, when he started off, he sounded a lot like Alexi's wording.
Yeah.
How about the ultimate highlight give up? Passes it to the man.
The man.
The man.
He didn't boom goes the dynamite.
He didn't quite have that player's name or even number. It's just the man.
We're going to continue on now.
We're going to continue on now. What was he doing that whole time? Just continuing on.
That was a big drop for a long time. Every time we started having problems on the show,
we're going to continue on now. So great.
Wow,
and I want to say that Letterman had him on after that, too. I can't remember whether Letterman just had the Van Chu partner. Who was that guy?
Oh, yeah.
They're
having a fun time for the disabled guy.
North Dakota's number one news.
Do you guys remember a TV station in Waco hired Brian from Ball State?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he only was there like 6 months, but dang they it. Hired him for the pub, I think.
I wish it would have worked out for him. Seemed like a sweet kid.
Yeah.
I guess the problem there was his teleprompter was moving fast, and so he was behind. Was that
yeah.
it?
Yeah. I think there were a lot of problems there.
Well, yes. Yes. But it does sound like throwing Jason Killer Kellison up on ABC Nightly News
yes.
with no prep.
Why am I telling this story?
Boy, that'd be great, wouldn't it?
God, that'd be great. I'd pay so much money to see that.
With a fast-moving prompter.
Yeah.